Why, me, Lord, what have I ever done that was worth even one of the pleasures I own? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you show?
Jesus comes back, he's looking for a bride. How many brides? One bride. He's going to go to every place that preaches his name to see if the bride is ready. He's going to walk to that door and see if they know him, see if they accept him, see if they read his word, see if they love him, and see the heart of a true Christian. He's looking for a bride. Let's read to our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. Thank you, Flo. I heard your voice so beautiful, praying to God. You be seated, everybody. Seated and relaxed. Deacon Chuck is back with us this week. He was at Bible study Wednesday. Y'all pray for my friend, for his hip. He came here, and I saw the cane, Chuck, and thank you. And we're praying for you, and thank you for your hand. Thank you. Jackie's coming home from Virginia. She's on the road today. She prayed for her. Our friends are back. Hi, guys. They were in Pennsylvania. They weren't backsliding, as far as I know, Sergio. But They're back with it. We miss you because your family, guys. And don't leave without that Bible today, okay? We talked about Haley's book. I was praying about that all week, so. Responsive reading, Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. That's a lot. Thirsting, isn't it? That thirst, that's a big word. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water.
So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory.
Hallelujah. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you.
And I will bless you where I live. I will lift up my hands in your name.
I will lift up my hands in your name. Thank you, Lord. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips.
And I remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in the night watches.
Thank you, Lord. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice.
My soul falls close behind you. Your right hand upholds me.
But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth.
They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals.
But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Psalm 63 from the Bible. And you read from the Bible, so I guess it's not all that hard. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know. People say, I don't know how to read the Bible. I said, yeah, well, first you got to open the door. First, you got to open the book and find something and start reading, and then God will show you. Amen? How many know that God will show you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Standing at the top of my stairs at my house, 2 o'clock Wednesday morning, looking down at my wife who was unconscious on the floor, I realized that I needed God. I realized that nothing else mattered. The 2.5 seconds it took me to get to the bottom of the stairs and wrap my hands around her head and rub her forehead, I realized that it was just her, me, and God. I realized nothing else mattered. When I wrapped my arms around her and laid next to her and she came awake, it might have been 2 seconds, it seemed like an hour, I realized that I needed God. I realized that it was me and God. I realized that I was holding on to something, and I wasn't a doctor, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. The only thing I knew how to do was love, and to love her, and to hold her, and just hold her tighter. As she looked up, she didn't know where she was. I didn't know what to do. I talked to God. It literally became me, her, and God. Praise the Lord. Nothing was broken. Praise the Lord. Nothing happened. She got some bruises and bumps. She got a really bad concussion. Very serious concussion. But it could have been 1,000 times worse. Amen. How can you praise God at a time like that? Because I had a lot to be thankful for. A lot to realize that I learned about life in those 5 seconds. I learned about how fast you could lose somebody in the blink of an eye. Just slipping in your house and falling down. I haven't been the same since, but I thank God that I'm standing here today and I'm stronger every day. But I told her, every time you get up to go downstairs and use the bathroom, I want to get up and go with you. Every time you get up and pick up something and take it downstairs, I want to carry it for you. Every time you want to do something, I want to do it for you. And I know I can't do that. So it's God that will heal my spirit and my heart. Amen. I pray that we understand how close we are to God every minute. Yeah, we have our fun and we do our things and we go fishing and we do all the fun. And you like your Buffalo Bills and we like football. But God is right there every second of your life. He's right there. And when you know him and when you trust him and you lean on him, you have that. You have that. You have that. When I held on to her, it wasn't me holding on to her. I was just praying to one person. His name is Jesus. I was holding on and telling her, Jesus is here. I'm here. I love you. It was the love that brought her back, the love that gave her back to me, the love that we share was all because of God. And that's what we bonded with. I laid on that floor with her for an hour. I caught so much heck from the hospital from my friends and my family, because when we went to the ER, 60 hours later, Mrs. Crisilli, everybody said, why didn't you bring her right away? And I said to them, and I'm trying to smile because I said, I would have needed an army. Elder Pat told me on the phone, you have an army. You should have called me. She would have been there. She would have done it. I don't want anybody to feel sorry, or I don't want you to feel, you know, because things happen to all of us, amen? My brother Chuck couldn't walk to church last because his hip, he can't walk to church. And he came Wednesday with his cane, and he came today. We're all facing, we have people in this church, I say every Sunday, facing life or death. Not a knee injury, not a back injury, they're facing life. They need God to answer. They're waiting for God to answer, because if God doesn't answer, they understand. But they're waiting. I just want you to know and understand what I'm telling you is God is your Savior. God is your healer. God is your strength. When you know God, when you trust God like that, no matter what comes against you, no matter what Satan tries to put in front of you, nothing can prosper. Amen? God heals. He healed her. He saved her. The angels were around her. That's all I can say is when she fell, the angels were around her. No broken bones, no broken nothing. Her legs worked. The first thing I said, thank you, Lord. I saw her legs work. And her eyes were open. I said, thank you, Lord. Her eyes were open. And she knew who I was. I said, thank you, Lord. She knows who I am. You see, God is right sitting next to you right now. He knows what you do. He knows where you go. He knows what you say. He forgives us. Amen. Thank God. Can you say it? Thank God that He forgives us. Because we think that we say and do things and nobody heard us. Well, He's right there with you. When you say something bad about somebody, He's right there with you. And He's not happy about it, but He loves you. And He puts His arm around you and say, you know, you're missing it. You heal people by lifting them up. Amen? That's what we do as Christians. I don't mean to go on and on. I just prayed that I just wouldn't break down this morning, and God has kept me from that too. But seeing her stand next to me this morning and then hearing her sing, let me tell you, those were the last two things I was thinking about Wednesday night when I saw her laying on that floor. I just wanted her with me. All the other things were a blessing. Amen? And that's for everybody. That's for everybody here to understand that every second counts. What you do counts. What you say counts. And the glory of God, the glory of God is when you let go of things and trust God and climb over the mountain and then see that God has truly been there with you. And it doesn't mean that you're right or you're wrong. It just means that with God you overcome. Amen? That's the victory. As a Christian, that's what we do. We overcome. And it was just, I just had God. That's all I had. And that's all I needed. And that's all any of us need to get through any terror, anything that happens. It's all about you and your knowledge and your love for God that brings you over the mountain. Amen? And that's my testimony, because God is so good. He is just so good. He loves us more than we can understand and ever comprehend. And He simply asks us to walk closer to that, to get in the shadow of that love, to just touch that love will change your heart. George Marsh today had a car stolen on him, his brand new car. And about a half hour ago, I heard him laughing in church. And I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't say that to him. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm talking to God. He could be miserable today. He could be upset, but he came to church and he's laughing. I said, only God can make you do that. Things happen. Amen? And now you're at the body. Now you're family. You look around, and some of the folks aren't here today because they're in New Hampshire. They're away. But this is your family. This is your strength. This is where people will come and hold you to them. Lift you up, Gary. They will do that. We've missed you. We have missed you. I'm so glad that you're here today. Let's pray together. Lord, let us not take any more moments for granted. Let us all understand that in a blink of an eye, it could be gone. And then what? We have this chance today to make this church your bride. We're going to try to do as best we can. We have this chance today to bring hearts together. We're going to do our best to do that. We have this chance today to give people hope. Hope for the week ahead. Hope and dreams that fill their heart's desires with you. We have this chance today to light that flame, to leave them as they go on their way with that hope, saying something good is going to happen this week. I know something good is going to happen this week because God is with me. I know something good is going to happen this afternoon because God is with me. And to start claiming that. Saying it and claiming it does not move God. It moves the person saying it closer to God. Understand, he cannot be manipulated. But he also said he cannot deny himself. So as you praise him and as your heart rejoices, he will answer your praise. He will send his presence closer to you. You will feel his love. You will see things happen in your life. And you'll see dreams come to fruition. You'll see dreams coming, and you'll say, why? Only God could have done this, because only God knew. That's the God we pray for, the God of this Bible. Nobody else's Bible, this Bible. This is our God. Anybody else who has another God, that's to them. We have this God who has promised us this. And we, Lord, thank you for who you are. And all that you've done to get us to this day in July, and all you're going to do in our lives, Lord. But we won't take a minute for granted. We won't, Lord. We won't. Thank you, Lord, for what you teach us. In Jesus' name I pray. You can look at that door and see Jesus standing at that door. I'm telling you, it would shake you to the innermost part of your being. And let me tell you, the Bible said, what says? He inhabits the praise of his people. He is with us. Let his angels fill his house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brian. Oh, yes, thank you. Good, I will read that at the announcements. It says in the Bible, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That means lack of the word, lack of knowing. And it says in Corinthians, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. Amen? The knowledge of who?
God.
Hallelujah. Let him, and this is in Galatians, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. Do not be what? Listen to this. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Hallelujah. And let us not grow weary while doing good, because for in due season we shall reap. If, say that with me, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. To how many? Especially, and I like this part, to those who are of the household of faith. That are you, brothers and sisters. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Give them praise. That's you. He says, listen to what Paul says, because this is so important. This is, you're going to see what the world is doing. See, with this large letters I have written to you in my own hand, Paul is saying, I wrote this. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, well, these people would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Avails what? Anything but a new creation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I have that bookmark that Gene and Walter gave me a year ago, 27th of June. Praise the Lord. He got into a boat. Hallelujah. Is that where we are? Thank you, Lord. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him. How about that? Many tax collectors, who back in that time were not considered very nice people, folks, and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw that, those are the Bible scholars, amen? Can I get an amen? When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Then he said, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." What's he saying? They don't need me. They know better. They don't want to know me. They're all set in all their little ways and all their things that they're doing. They don't call to me. They might read my word, but they don't see what they're reading. They don't have any time, no desire to be with me. Jesus said, that's where they are. I want to come to those who want repentance. Amen. I come to the sinners and sit with the sinners. Are you with me? He was not interested. He wasn't even interested in the unbelievers. Amen. Did he argue with them? No. Did he call them names? No. He just said, "They don't need a doctor. They're fine. They're happy and what they're doing, and let them do it. But I want people who want to know me," he said. "I want people who desire truth and my blessings. You need to come." He wants mercy. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Give him praise. That's right. Praise God. So I tell you, how many brides? Hallelujah. All are welcome here. Can I get an amen? All are welcome who are searching for God and the truth. We are not trying to cure people or heal people. Amen. We don't try to heal you when you walk in. Amen. We try to give you what? God's word. Because people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He will be the only one that heals. Only when the heart is right to receive. Amen. God blesses everybody. God loves everybody. But when you want that repentance, like Jesus said, "I seek the needs of the people who want to repent." Amen. So when your time is right, when you are right, your heart is right, he will do the healing. He will cure people. He does that every single day for all of us. How many? How much does he charge? I need to know. How much? Zero, nada. Remember that. So we don't have time to correct others' mistakes. We don't. We have enough to do to keep ourselves strong in faith and focused on Jesus. On who? You see, because that is where all of our blessings come. Amen. We want to help brothers and sisters. If somebody's in need, if somebody does something wrong, if the pastor does something wrong, you come and you talk to the pastor, you talk to the elders and say, "Hey, can we talk? I don't know if I understand that or I agree with that." We pray about it, and that's what you do. Amen. But we don't have time to be mad at anybody, because like I said before, in a blink of an eye, and then what? And then what? We sing a song Hank Williams wrote. It's called "Mind Your Own Business." He said, "I got all to do to mind my own. Mind your own business." And it's sort of got a lot of that in a sense that we just need to focus on God. Because there's nothing we've ever done, and I hate to tell you this, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's nothing you've ever done or said that God hasn't heard. There's no place you've ever been that he wasn't right there with you. Right? In the middle of those bars we used to play it and sing and all that. He was right there standing there. "Oh, okay, boy, play that song again. Hank Williams Jr. songs. Let's have a party. Everybody get drunk and drink." He was standing right there saying, "Okay, someday I'm going to have a lot of fun with that boy." Thank you. Praise God. I didn't make this up. I heard somebody who was one of the greatest trumpet players out of Nashville, got all kinds of major records. He came to Grayson Vessels and he performed and did some things that everybody just loved. I can't even think of his name. Thank you, Lord. And one of the things he said is, I'm an entertainer. He said, "Don't think for a second I'm not an entertainer. God created me. And he molded me. I might have stood in front of thousands of people talking. I learned how to talk to people, Jim, amen. I learned how to talk to people at summer concerts. Yeah, he molded me. And he kept molding me, saying, "Someday, boy, you keep working because you're going to be working for me." So you betcha. You betcha. I'm an advocate for who? For you and for me. Praise God. So we don't have time because our blessings come from who? So we accept the sinner, but never the sin. Amen? People say that, they throw that out there, Marty, like it's, oh, but it's true. We always, because if we didn't accept the sinner, everybody'd have to leave. Out. Get out. Every church would be empty with spider webs. If nobody, if you haven't, now I know some places they say that if you go on one day and talk to somebody, all your sins are forgiven. God bless you. It works. Maybe. I don't know. All I know is I fall short daily. And God loves me. Amen? There's only a way to church. There's only one way that a church can be strong, faithful, and holy. And that word holy, I want you to hang on to that word holy, Elaine, because that sets you apart. Sets you apart. Holy, right, Elder Pat? Holy is the word that sets you apart. Only one way. Hallelujah. In the eyes of God and never man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. How many brides?
One.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But Paul says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, God made it so simple. Jesus made it so simple, but other men said, no, we got to add to this because there's profit to be made here. We got to add it. If we add some more, we'll keep people in bondage, right, in church. Imagine that. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Hallelujah. That's in Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. Not you. He's talking to the church. And he's talking to those who turn away. Not you. But listen to what he said. Who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He said, I marvel that you're turning to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Amen? They want to do what? Pervert the gospel of who? But Paul said this, but even if we or an angel from heaven preached any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not, listen, this two lines, listen to what he says. For I do now, for, thank you, Lord. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For I, if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul is saying, if I'm trying to just seek to please all the men in the world and everybody's ideas, how many see that? Amen? If your idea, oh, you accept that? Okay, I believe you can accept that. We'll have that in church. Oh, you like to have that? Okay, well, we'll have that in church too. Well, I'll please everybody, and then we'll have a church full of people who don't really follow God, but they feel good about it because we're accepting everybody because it's just the way it is, and forget about being what? The bride. Because when he walks to that door to see the bride, and he looks in and says, oh no, I don't need three brides. I don't need four brides. I'm not like, I need one bride. I need to walk in and see one bride. I need one bride who's focused on the word of God to God. Not for man, not pleasing man, but we see it. Paul says right there, for do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give it. Hallelujah. You guys are good today. Anything that distorts the word of God is not from God. Amen? Sadly, many use God to gain wealth. Sorry, Lord. Many gain power, honor, and glory from other men. Can I get an amen? Now, Lord, forgive me, but I want to share. There was a man, I saw him on TV again. Lord, help me. He said, I need 1,000 people to send $1,000
Receive the blessings of God. Send me $1,000. Oh, Lord, let them release it. Let them know, Lord, that if they release $1,000, you're going to pour blessings on them. This man was speaking from God. He was speaking in an altar, and he had other people. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you. And he'd give the mic to somebody else. Yep, hallelujah. Just $1,000. That's all. And God will release the blessings. And I said, Lord, forgive them. Lord, I'm not judging them. I said, but I got to be a pastor and I got to be a teacher and I got to tell my flock that there's nothing in this book that says you give $1,000 and you shall receive. Praise God. There's another person. Praise Lord. I'm just telling them the word, Lord. A minister, doctor. Doctor and a minister. She had an elixir that she said God gave her with all the herbs all over the earth. Put it together and it will cure cancer. Whatever stage. It'll cure cancer. Hallelujah. Oh, she's a doctor and she's talking about God. She must be right. It ain't in here, but she must be right. She's a doctor. Thousands and thousands and how many? Of dollars. One lady gave $115,000 to get this syrup. Everybody tried to get it, find out what it was, and they couldn't find it. And they finally got a hold of it. The flavoring, meat broth. Yeah, made it a little tasty. A couple of things here from a couple of things there. But, oh, God, yo, my mother was fourth stage, and we went, and oh, my God, and she had to go there, and she had to pay to go there, and it was thousands and thousands of dollars, but she was going to be healed. And she passed away. And this person lost. Lord, let me tell you what she lost. Those 2 and 3 months with her mother. Lost it. Gone. Because they believed. Somebody, because they said they were a preacher. And because they said they were a doctor. Thousands of dollars. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. People can't wait to give it. Because they want a miracle. Amen. But it isn't in the word. Let me read what I said before. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. Dave, praise God. I like him. I'm going to send him in the foot next month. Dave showed me a newspaper. I told you last week. Think about this. Drive-through communion service. I ain't got time, God, because I got to go to a picnic, but I want to hang on a minute. I got 10 minutes. I'm going to drive right through here. That person in there is holier than holy. He's going to give me a communion. I'm going to sip it. I got my sacrament. Everything's good, God. Hallelujah. I don't care if it rains or freezes as long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car. I can drive 1,000 miles an hour as long as I got that almighty power sitting up there on my pair of fuzzy dice. I'm not making this up. They have a drive-through communion.
5 to 5:30 in Waterbury.
I keep looking. I want it to be right. It's weird. In the book of Isaiah, it's got to be somewhere.
Here's the truth. Do you know why people do this? Understand. Yeah, some are lazy. Amen. Some are lazy. Some don't have time to give God, so they figure they'll just throw God a dime or a quarter to put a dollar in the box. Everything's good and rosy. Then when something happens, they don't know where to turn. They go to the box. There's nothing in the box. They go through the drive-in, come and closed. They can't find anybody to talk to about God because nobody's ever talked to them about God. But here's the truth. People are desperate for good news. Amen. They're desperate for hope. They're desperate to seek and get something inside of them that gives them strength to get over the things that they're dealing with. To get over a sickness, to get over the drugs, to get over the anger, to get over anything, to find a mate. They're praying and they're praying. And now they're going online with a mate to try to find a mate. They met a person 2 weeks later and they get married. Crazy stuff. Because they're not waiting on who?
Not listening.
To whom? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God's not mad at them. He's saying these people are hungry for something, Sergio. They want something good. And it's right here. Right here.
But if we water it down, if we just include all the things that just for the pleasing people, when people come here to get fed, they won't know what to eat, amen? They won't know where to go, because this will not be the bride. I want to be the bride. I want the church to be the bride, amen? They lack determination. That's part of it. And some are lazy. I don't want to blame them on that, though. Some people think that God is too busy to hear them, so what's the use? My sister-in-law, praise God, I love her. She used to say, you can't pray for a parking place. I know, it's been a long time, Dave. And I used to say, my God supplies all my needs, but I got to talk to him first. He's got to know that I trust him, that when I get the parking place, what will I do? Give him the glory. When I get to the ER, we went to the ER, hallelujah, praise God. You know how many people were in front of us? You ready? None. Zero. Nada. The lady said, you should have been here yesterday. Chuck, you've heard that going fishing. You go fishing and you don't catch nothing. The guy says to you, you should have been here yesterday. They were really biting. The lady said, you should have been here yesterday. The place was full. I said, no. No, we came when we were supposed to come. God opened the door, set the seas apart. Nobody could walk through until we got there. I believe God said, come. I'll take care of you. Nobody. Nobody was there. The lady took us to the desk. We filled out the papers. We sat down. Some lady came out. Doreen, come back with me. And the rest is beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. And I will tell you this. I told this to somebody yesterday in a letter. What God is doing for me, he'll do for you. He will do. He's done for you. You call on him, he will answer you. Sometimes, how many of you know you need a miracle right away? I needed one that night. He gave it to me. He will answer. He will lift you up. And when God lifts you up, you will have more glory than you ever thought possible. When God lifts you up, you will have success. Success that you never thought possible. Because you're yelling, God, be the one in front of you, sweeping the floor and getting you through. Hallelujah. We have a lot of people going to a lot of different ministries. They call them... what do they call them? Outreach kind of... What kind of...
Interfaith.
Interfaith. I'm not judging. But I know that he walks through that door and he sees folks believing this and believing that and believing this. He's going to look around and say, well, I guess this ain't the bride. He wants how many brides? And he wants you to know one thing. What does he want you to know? The word. And he wants you to learn the word. And he wants the pastor. He wants the teacher. He wants the priest. He wants the elders to teach you one thing. One thing, what? The word. Because if I teach you the word, on Wednesday afternoon when something comes against you, you have ammunition. You have a storehouse opened up with all this flowing blessings coming on you. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't make you feel better, because I was in tears for days, but it made me feel stronger inside that I knew God was with me. God is with you. So when you face something and it's really bad, really, and you're hurting right now, and you're thinking God is with you, he's going to get you through it. He will do for you what he's done for me. Amen. That's a song, I think, Marty. He will do for you what he's done for me. He will hold you together in times that you don't think you could be held together. I praise God. I do. Because every time she gets up to go downstairs, I want to walk down with her. Every time she carries something, I want to carry it. I am beside myself. I need your prayers. I know God is hearing me. But I need your prayers because I'm flesh and blood. Amen? I'm flesh. Hallelujah. So let you guys are great today. When you give your heart to Jesus, when you give it to whom? Listen, it begins a journey of love. When God's house is filled with God's word, it becomes a church where blessings can flow, not that flow, but we love that flow, can flow a place where sometimes, and listen to this, this is it, where sometimes Sunday takes too long to come. Can you imagine that? Thinking that Sunday just takes too long to come because I can't wait to get back there and get some more food. Walking in to hear good news, something, anything that will give hope, a new family to help others. You don't need $1,000 to get God's blessing. You don't need to drink anything to get God's cure. You need to get God. Simply that. We're all going through things. People with their backs and their legs. My brother Chuck with his hip. That's awful. That's pain that causes your day to be gone. But you just keep giving it to God. And you know that God will see you through. And when he sees you through, you feel like you've done it with God. Amen? Hearing about Jesus, his word, his promises, And listen, and I'm right here with my hand up. All of us will be at times have to be repenting. Amen? Some of us will have to face correction. My hand is up. And a realization that we are all a work in progress. But just as your mother and your father corrected you when you did something wrong, anybody ever do? Let me tell you something. Each iniquity removed makes you stronger. Makes you stronger? Hallelujah. For you and those that you love. And this is biblical. Listen, then you'll understand. When this starts to happen in church, when God's house is full of God's word, then this church becomes your sanctuary, your place of refuge. When you look at this church, you no longer see a building. You see a place that I want to go. I wish I could go 5 times a week and just hear somebody talk to me about God so that I can get on with my life and help my husband and help my wife and help my family. This becomes your sanctuary. That's what it means. A place of refuge. A place where hope exists. This becomes God's house. We are going to do all we can do, and we all need to pray together that we are a bride for when he returns. Give him praise, church.
Larry, bring that letter down to me.
Oh, yes. I'll do that at the end.
Nothing matters more than Jesus, amen? How many want to do it Jesus' way? Hallelujah. How many want to do it man's way? None of us. I don't want to please men. I don't want to please them and tickle their ears and make them feel something that's wrong, because someday they're going to have to face what is right. And I don't want to be responsible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all because of Jesus. Jesus, thank you. I called his name more times than I can tell you. Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you for what you did on that cross for us, Lord. Thank you for all the sacrifices, for the beating that you took and the whipping that you took for our iniquities. Jesus, our God, the Son of God, our hero, our Savior. We simply do this in remembrance of Jesus. Deacons, thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Lord. Spend some time talking to God. I know he'll answer. Talk to him. Better yet, let him talk to you. Let him just fill you. And he'll lead you. When God leads you, it'll always be a blessing. When God is with you, it'll always be a blessing. When it's God first and not you, it'll always be blessed.